Hi, I'm Tamina, gender equality activist and sales professional at a global technology company. When I graduated from college in 2017, I was struggling to figure out how adulting works. School did not properly prepare me for some of the most basic things that my young professional life would eventually throw at me. If this sounds familiar, please join me on this journey to empower young women who are, just like myself, still in search of a fulfilling, purpose-driven life. Welcome to FemHive. Hi, ladies. Today, I'm joined by Henny Vogt. Henny is working in sales at LinkedIn, and she is a true social butterfly. Born and raised in Germany and having both studied and worked in the US and Ireland, Henny has friends all over the place, which is why she has a lot of experience maintaining long-distance friendships. On today's episode, Henny will be sharing with us how she's navigating those friendships. Hi, Henny. It's so good to have you.
Hi, Tamina. Thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be here today.
Oh, awesome. I'm very excited for you to be joining me today. So before we dive into today's topic of how to maintain long-distance friendships, would you mind sharing with us what it is that you do at LinkedIn, Henny?
Not at all. I'd be more than happy to. So I consider myself a strategic advisor at LinkedIn for one of our product lines, which is LinkedIn Learning. My role would be called sales development representative. And as the title indicates, it's a sales role, which means I advise companies in the DACH region, aka the German-speaking parts of Europe, on their L&D strategy. And I pretty much pitch our product and try to see how we can support them.
Awesome. That sounds really, really cool. And I mean, e-learning in general seems to be something that is in high demand, especially in 2020 with the whole COVID situation. So I'm sure you've been pretty busy.
Yes, I cannot complain.
Awesome. So Henny, I was just mentioning it briefly in the intro, but you have lived in three different countries at this point. Can you please elaborate on those different experiences and what you've done in each of these countries that has allowed you to become the person that you are today?
Oh, I love the question. I could probably take an hour to respond to this, but I'll try to make it brief. So as mentioned, I grew up in Germany. Actually, I grew up in the southern part of Germany along the German Wine Street, which is very beautiful, but also somewhat rural. So I'm kind of a country girl. And after high school graduation, I moved to the south of Germany even further, to Augsburg, which is where I went to college. It's like 45 minutes away from Munich. I've also been an exchange student in America, in Pennsylvania. And after that, I found my love, I guess, for the States. And when I was in college, I knew I wanted to study in the States. So I ended up in Washington, D.C., studied and interned there for a year. And then I finished my degree again in Germany. Then I missed the States so much, so I ended up in Chicago again. This time I was working for the German-American Chamber of Commerce, so I was working in international relations. And then I ended up back in Germany, decided to get my master's, ended up in Dublin, Ireland at Trinity, got my master's there, and as with most people here, I didn't initially want to stay, but the career opportunities with all the tech companies here in Ireland were just too good. So I ended up with LinkedIn. And overall, I would say all of these transitions have truly shaped me in a variety of ways, because at the time, you don't really realize why and how you even ended up there. But then looking back at it now, right, and reflecting on it, I realize kind of the silver lining, and I see how and what made me choose certain paths. And obviously with living abroad, you end up having friends all over the place. And for the past, I don't know, when did I move out? I guess when I was 18, and now I am turning 28. So for the past 10 years, I've been all over the place. And yeah, happy to share some of that today.
Awesome. Thank you so much for sharing, Henny. I'm sure to some of our listeners, this is really interesting, because a lot of Americans actually never really leave the States. And if they do, they come back rather quickly. Maybe some of our listeners have studied abroad for a semester or two. But having been kind of all over the place for the past 10 years, I feel like that's something that is pretty unique. So I'm really excited that you had the opportunity to move across different countries. Obviously, we share our love for America, so that's great. So I know that you must have some really wonderful friends there as well. And yeah, speaking of friends, so let's shift some gears and talk about today's topic. I would say that most people probably have different friend groups, right? So there's friends from childhood and high school, college friends, and then friends you meet at work. In your experience, how are the dynamics and types of friendships that you have, and how do they differ from one another?
Yeah, Tamina, that's a great question, because again, that's something that you don't realize at the time. It's something that, you know, comes more when you reflect on it. So for me, I am lucky and blessed enough to have a fantastic group of best friends that are from kind of high school or even primary school. So that friendship has been established more than 15 years ago. And at the time we were a little bit more, but now we're a group of 5 girls. And at this stage, that kind of friendship has developed into family. Like, we share everything, like mm-hmm. any life update, any pain, any happiness, any joy. Mm-hmm. It's one of those friendships that, you know, will last for a lifetime. And mm-hmm. no matter what, you know, at this stage, you can't change them. You know, mm-hmm. they have their flaws that, and I have mine, but we love and support one another. And honestly, that is probably, yeah, one of the things in my life that I cherish the most are these 4 girls that I can call my best friends, because they've been there since day one almost. So that's one group of friends, right? And then you're right, there is college friends, which to me, having studied in different places, I have certain groups of college friends. So I have my undergrad college friends, which again, I was lucky and blessed and ended up in the first semester freshman year with an amazing group of people that I'm still really, really, really good friends with. And luckily for me, that kind of friend group is a big one where everyone's connected with everyone. So every time I return to Augsburg, there's still a bunch of them there. We can continue right where we left off the last time, and it's really beautiful. And those are like my German college friends, right? And then if I think of DC, I think of my Washington, DC college friends. And now having gotten my master's in Dublin, I have my master's college friends. And all of the programs I participated in when I studied abroad were super international. So even though in my mind, they're my DC people or they're my Dublin people, most of these people are kind of all over the place now. So for me, it's really like WhatsApp groups that help me kind of to track what everyone's up to, and obviously Instagram. And then the other group, which also you've mentioned, is work friends. I've also interned and worked in the States as well as here in Ireland. And to be honest with you, I guess because those are the most recent friendships in a way, those are still the trickier ones to maintain. Mm. And I guess once you stop working together, it's even harder, because at the time you have work together that you share and you can share your everyday life with one another. But once that stops, it's much, much harder to keep in touch. So those would be, for me, the 3 groups.
Very, very interesting. It's wonderful to hear that you've been able to still stay in touch with some of your earliest friends that you've ever made in primary school or secondary school. So that's wonderful to hear, because I don't think that's always the case. Because for me personally, when I moved to North Carolina for college, I found it challenging to still keep in touch with my childhood friends, also due to the fact that, you know, we're all living in completely different worlds with different interests and different futures. So at some point, we just didn't have much in common anymore, aside from our shared past, which, you know, oftentimes makes me sad, actually. Have you made similar experiences? And if so, how have you been navigating that challenge?
So I definitely agree with you that sometimes you grow apart, right? And that's why I said I've been blessed or I'm lucky, because it is rare. And the older I get, the more I realize how unique those friendships are and how valuable they are to me. Mm-hmm. So the reason I say I was blessed is because it's rare that people grow in the same direction. Mm-hmm. And initially we were a much bigger group. I'd say we were a group of 10. Now we're down to 5 in total, including me. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because even though we all ended up at a different college in a different city in Germany, we've all studied abroad. We all ended up making new college friends. And especially that transition from high school to college was hard initially. I remember them being very upset at me because I've made these amazing new college friends. And they were like, oh, you know, almost like a little bit jealous because they didn't have the same experience I did. And obviously, you know, you transition into a new phase of your friendship and every phase comes with a certain challenge. And not every friendship is able to make it through that. But for us, it worked because at the end of the day, we may have had experiences apart from one another, but we all had similar experiences. We all studied abroad, you know, so those are already very privileged things that maybe not everyone from my high school or even, you know, your high school has made. So, of course, if you are not able to connect on those levels, it's much, much harder to maintain a friendship. Another thing I would say, and that's a big one, is also, you know, just if you don't see one another anymore, you know, for you living in North Carolina, I mean, it's just so far. Mm-hmm. And especially at an early young age, I mean, 18, you know, when you leave high school, it's still somewhat early. You're not 100% who you are going to be. So I think that's part of the deal, and you know, part the choice to make that move and live abroad, or the choice to go to college, or the choice to stay. There's certain things and challenges that come with that, and you know, I guess losing and outgrowing some friendships is part of that. And for me, the way I guess overcome that or navigate that, I am just always grateful for the memories. Like, honestly, I had so much fun in high school. And while I may not talk to like 70, 75% of the people I graduated with anymore, I still have fond memories. And I still, you know, like you said, a shared past. So I'm just grateful for those memories. And I also acknowledge the fact that, you know, I had to let go of some people in order to make room for the new ones, for the new friends. And I guess it's the same, almost like shedding a skin, you know, like when you grow, it's just normal. So for me, I always really cherish and I'm grateful for what I've had and shared with them. So there's never hard feelings. So if I were to like go home to my parents and run into former people from my high school, I always find a way to connect with them just due to that, right? But I also, I think there's a mutual understanding that it's just, you know, in the past, and it'll stay that way, but it's fine because there's so many other cool new friends that I made. So, you know, you lose some and you gain some.
No, you're totally right. I think part of growing up is that you have to make room for new people, like you're saying. And this realization became very evident to me when one of my mentors, I think it was like 3 or 4 years ago, pointed out to me that there are certain people that are only meant to be part of your life for a certain period of time. And then in your next chapter, you're going to meet new people who will be like great companions for that chapter of your life. And maybe eventually you'll have to shed that skin as well, right? So, and that was kind of, you know, really sad realization, but at the end of the day, you cannot maintain like what 200, 300 friendships, right? It's just not sustainable. But I love the way you're framing it in regards to being really grateful for those shared memories that you have and cherish them and acknowledge that those friendships and those memories have also contributed to you becoming the wonderful person that you are today. So yeah, I love that you are really genuine about those friendships and those experiences in the past. I think that's something that we can all learn from. And what you're saying initially also really resonated with me, because yes, when everyone is kind of having similar experiences of going to college and maybe studying abroad, moving around, then that's something, even when you're in different parts of the world, you can share. But then I, for example, had friends that, you know, either stayed in our hometown or didn't go to college. And then it's really difficult to talk about things that are just on my mind constantly. Like, I don't know, my thesis, research projects, groups that I'm involved in on campus, recruiting for jobs, things that that other person that I've been friends with for such a long time will never be able to resonate with, simply because they didn't have the same experience. So I think at that point, it becomes really, really challenging for sure.
Exactly. And to kind of follow up on that, I would say to the listeners, or maybe to younger listeners, it is hard to let go of certain friendships, you know, like it hurts. It's painful. And it's certainly not something that I particularly enjoy, because when you're in the moment, right, when you have fun with your friends at the time, let's say for me, for example, my DC college friends, that was, I studied there 2014 to 2015. So 5 years ago, huh? And at the time I thought, oh my God, I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to invite them to my wedding. I'm going to stay in touch with them for the rest of my life. You know, 5 years passed and there's only so much capacity for a certain amount. And we keep evolving, right? And so do our friendships, which is why the ones that do last, you know, the ones that you are not just not able to let go of, and the ones that are not able to let go of you either, you know, I mean, it's a two-way street, those become the most valuable ones. And I think that's just, I guess, a wisdom that I was able to learn and acquire. And I think even my parents truly like look at my friendships and have seen these friendships that when I was in, you know, 8 years or 10 years old, and they're still in my life, and they don't have that themselves. And they're like, oh, this is so cool. So I think, yeah, it's definitely the most valuable part. So let's not dwell on the ones that we have to let go of, but rather be grateful for the ones that stuck around and that were worth it.
Absolutely. Beautifully said. And yes, it does hurt to let go of some friendships for sure. So in case you all out there are having trouble with this, just know that it is normal. It is part of growing up and hurts occasionally, but there will be some wonderful people waiting for you. So that's at least how I try to justify it, or have been trying to justify it in the past. So you were already talking about this earlier. You have a WhatsApp group to stay in touch with some people. So for me, after graduating from college, and me and my best friends moving to all different parts of the globe, I was worried about losing touch with them. Obviously, there is WhatsApp and everything. But when you live on campus together for 3-4 years, you see each other pretty much on a daily basis. And obviously, that changes drastically after graduation. Again, luckily, we are blessed with some incredible technology that allows us to have group chats and FaceTime and all that good stuff, but it's still not the same. What tips and tricks do you have for staying in touch with the people you consider your closest friends, Henny?
Hearing that question, I must say there's two words that come to my mind right away. It's effort and empathy. Because first and foremost, it doesn't matter, you know, if it's a WhatsApp group, FaceTime dates, Instagram, social media, I think first and foremost, it takes effort to stay in touch with people. And it doesn't even matter if they're physically close to you, in the sense they live in the same town, or if they live across the pond. It always takes effort to maintain a friendship or relationship with people. And if you don't put in the work, you're not going to get the reward. And the other thing is empathy. You know, sometimes people are busy, you know, and I think that's okay. I think if you have empathy for your friends that may not reach out as often as you would like, and who may just not be the kind to, you know, call you once in a while because it's just not their style of friendship and communication, I think you need to also just acknowledge that and be okay with that. That's why I'm saying it's effort and it's empathy. And I mean, I've been, you know, hurt by friends, I've been disappointed and all those things, mainly though, due to my own expectations that I had. Mm-hmm. And once I've kind of figured that out, it was much easier to stay in touch with people because I've by now know, you know, I have friends that I can text with on a daily basis and just mm-hmm. random stuff, right? And that's just how our friendship works. It's super random. It comes, it goes, the text messages, but it's how we stay in touch. Mm-hmm. Then I have people who I really have to schedule like a phone date with or a FaceTime date with in order to get a grasp of what's going on in their world. And sometimes, to be honest with you, I might may not be the one putting in all the effort. Sometimes I have friends who like deliberately have to like, you know, make me join the group call or something like that, because that's something that doesn't work for me, for example. I don't like having to commit to a phone call in a week or 2 weeks' time at 5 p.m. or so, because who knows what I'm going to be doing at that time, right?
I would be so frustrated with someone like you, because I love, you know, planning it ahead. Okay, 2 weeks time, like Thursday, 5 p.m. we're going to talk. And if you're not there, like, shame on you.
Yeah, see, and that wouldn't work for me at all, because I'm rather like, if I walk the dog or I'm out and about on a walk, I'm like, hey, I'm going to give Tamina a call now. I just thought of her. See if she has time. And then if you don't pick up, I'm like, okay, cool, fine. That's, you know, just part of the deal is like, learn what works for you, what works for your certain friendships, and then adjust and work with that. Because if I knew, okay, Tamina is the kind of girl who wouldn't appreciate if I canceled on a call like that, of course, I would put in the effort to be there, you know, because I would probably disappoint you once or twice and you would communicate it and then I would learn my lesson. Mm. So I think at the end of the day, it comes down to, you know, communication. And what works for me, like I said, is just sometimes being practical about it. Like when I'm on a walk, out and about, give someone a quick call. And if it ends up you talk for an hour, then you talk for an hour, you know. And if it's only 5 minutes, at least you'd let the other person know that you think about them and that you care about them. I also think over the time or over the years, I hope that the pressure is somewhat removed. Because once you've been friends for so long and you see, oh, they called me, and you forget to call back, if it's important to them, they'll call you again and they won't hold a grudge. Mm. So for me, with different friends, I work differently. With others, as stupid as it sounds, we just send memes. But I know they're thinking of me and I'm like, ah, this is a funny one. And vice versa. And it's a way of, you know, staying in touch and communicating. But to be honest with you, what works best for me and my friendships are regular visits. Because, you know, yes, I have, so maybe to give a little bit more of context where I consider my best friends located in the world, one of my best friends is in Australia, another one is in New York, three are in Germany, one is in London, so we're working with a bunch of different time zones here. And while I appreciate social media and all kinds of technology that we can use nowadays, it just, once in a while, you just need that face-to-face, you know? Mm. You need, and so I think you just have to put in the effort, you know, to schedule regular visits. And regular, I don't mean every month, whatever works for you, but if you haven't seen someone who you really consider a good friend in 2 or 3 years, then you just need to put in the effort and book that flight, you know, and try to, like, see them somehow.
I really love that, Henny, and I think it's so important to point out the two words, effort and empathy, again, because for me personally, at least, I feel like I'm always willing to put in the effort. You know, I'm one of those annoying people who loves, again, like scheduling it ahead of time, but then at some point I'm also frustrated if that's not being reciprocated, or if I'm always the person who has to initiate those FaceTime calls with my best girlfriends, but then maybe I don't fully understand their way of communication, or, you know, I know you love talking about the love languages as well. Maybe they just have a different style of communicating and sharing their love and appreciation for me than I do. So I think that's definitely something I personally have to think about more and take into consideration when I'm navigating my long distance friendships that are all over the place as well. But I also love that you're saying, okay, like with Tamina, like I know she loves scheduling stuff ahead of time, and I upset her twice, but then I learned my lesson. So that's why I'm feeling like that empathy is key in this context. So yeah, thank you for sharing. And obviously, if you're able to see your friends in person and putting in the effort, I think that goes a long way. And that's definitely something that I've tried with my college friends as well, meeting them all over the place and sharing some additional new memories with them, but then also dreaming about the good old days in college. And that's lovely. So I guess following up on that note of empathy and effort, and you were kind of already talking about this earlier, you know, being a young professional can be pretty exhausting at times, right? Especially when you're still trying to find your routine and you're still adjusting to adulthood in general. I personally think about my best friends all the time, and ideally I would love to chat with them on a daily basis, but sometimes I'm just too emotionally and physically drained after a long day at work to initiate a conversation and have that emotional space for that other person. You were mentioning memes, for example, earlier, or just spontaneous calls, but what are some other small gestures we can all make in order to signal to our long-distance friends, like, hey, I'm still here. I might not pick up the phone every single day, but I'm still here for you, even though I'm very far away.
I think this is definitely a question that everyone needs to answer for themselves, right? I think everybody, like you said, has a different style, also different love language, a different communication style. But I think it's important to recognize what's yours and then stick to it and also like be true to yourself. Mm-hmm. For me, like I said, I love memes. So I appreciate it if a friend sends me a meme. And by meme, I don't just mean like the funny gifts. I also mean a quote. I mean a picture. I mean a place where you're at and you're like, hey, look where I'm at, you know? Mm-hmm. So just sending these along, I think, can go a long way because they're quick, they're easy, but they're meaningful. I think it, especially in 2020, as much as I appreciate, you know, the digitalization and all the new, you know, fun stuff, I'm also very old school. So everywhere I travel, whether it's just within Europe or I go on a bigger trip, I always write postcards. Mm. And I rarely get any back. But to me, I love writing and I love, you know, looking at the postcards and see which one would, you know, that person like or not like. So I sent some to my family and some to my friends. Mm. And so I think I know that my friends really very much appreciate it, even though I may not receive them, right? That's just my way of showing, hey, I'm thinking of you and I'm in this country far away, but I just want to let you know what I'm up to and you're on my mind. Same goes for birthday cards. Because, you know, like I said, it's been 10 years that I've lived all over the place. So it's rare that I can actually celebrate a birthday face to face with a friend on the actual day. So I've kind of made this tradition that I send a birthday card every year to some of my friends when I can celebrate with them in person. So again, it's that idea of who do you consider your close circle? And honestly, my boyfriend is like, what, you're sending out birthday cards each week almost? And I'm like, well, I mean, I live in Ireland and a lot of them are not in Ireland. But it's a small gesture, but I'd say it goes a long way. And that's my style. And then I have a hard time sometimes scheduling calls and also for my work, you know, I'm on the phone all day. So I don't necessarily feel like also having to talk in the evening, even though, as you can tell already, I love to talk, but still. So I often would send a voice message, which, again, not everybody likes. So with the friends that I know, they don't necessarily like voice messages. I wouldn't send them one. But oftentimes it's just a quick 2 minute, 3 minute, sometimes 10 minutes if there's anything important going on that needs to be shared, where, you know, they can listen to it at their time whenever it suits them and they can respond whenever it suits them. But the message is out and they're aware that I'm thinking of them And yeah, those are some of the tips and tricks that I do, and that the gestures that for me work.
And I'm sure they're greatly appreciated by your friends. I can personally attest to the fact that I'm always really excited when I receive a message from you on Instagram, because I know another wonderful quote that really resonates with me has just come my way. And that's, you know, your way of conveying to me that you're thinking about me, and that's just wonderful. And I'm sure all of your friends from childhood really appreciate receiving your physical birthday cards and postcards. I think that's a wonderful thing to do. And I just love how much effort you put into all of this and thinking about your friends. I think that can go a long way, as you were saying. So we were briefly mentioning this earlier. So going back to the point of after living together on campus or traveling together or even, you know, having lived in the same place during childhood, all of a sudden being hundreds or even thousand miles apart from each other, that can be a tough transition for friends. In your experience, how have your friendships also changed over time, Henny?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Tamina. I think we've touched upon these in previous questions. I think friendships always change, right? Like, mm-hmm. as with any relationships, they either deepen or they become less and less over the time, or they may just remain what they were at the time. Like, I think you made a good point with the fact that, you know, you have certain friends for certain chapters and that's all there is, mm-hmm. but there'll always be love. And mm-hmm. I think for me, some of my friends, as I've mentioned, have become family. Like, mm-hmm. I'm a strong believer that, you know, love and family doesn't always involve blood. It is just in your heart, you know, mm-hmm. That to me, that's way more important. And not everyone who I'm actually related to by blood, I consider close family. Mm. So I think friendships change and they merge. Some of the really true friendships merge into family because you just couldn't imagine your life without them. Mm. Like I said, others drift apart, and that's okay too. At the end of the day, you need to recognize, you know, the shared interests and the shared memories and whether there's a potential for a shared future, or if you just say, you know what, this is not worth my time, it's not worth my effort. And some people may be upset or get offended, but at the end of the day, it's about what's good for you, right? What works for you and which mm-hmm. friendships serve you well. And mm-hmm. it takes a lot of reflection and inner strength to also say, this isn't a friendship that's serving me well. I'm not mm-hmm. getting out of this what I put in. It is tough, but then it's time to say, look, set your own boundary and say no to that friendship. Lastly, and I'm a strong believer of that, I think true connections and true bonds never die. Mm-hmm. You know, if something was real, it's going to stay real. And that means that even if you haven't, and I mean, that's why I work at LinkedIn. I love connecting people, right? And honestly, if I had a connection with you, and I don't know, even if it was just we studied together, we were in the same class, but we weren't super close. But we always, you know, got along, but it just wasn't in the cards for us to be really good friends. But you reach out to me and you need anything, I'll help you. I'll help you figure it out. You know, true mm-hmm. connections, true bonds never die. So even the friendships that may have, you know, I'm sure you have some from college where, oh, you've always gotten along with this person, but you haven't talked to them in 2 years. Mm. You know, or maybe a really good friend you haven't talked to in like a year. If it's a true friendship, if it's a true bond, a true connection, it's not going to die. That's why I think friendships change over time, yes, but true connections don't die.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. I think, again, when you're physically apart from friends and, you know, life is busy, maybe over a certain period of time you're not putting in the effort, but then you talk to that person again for whatever reason. Maybe they need your help, maybe you need their help, whatever it may be. But then in my experience, oftentimes with those true connections, and maybe they only used to be like an acquaintance, but you still really appreciate them as a person, you can kind of pick it up where we left things before, right? So that I also think is kind of the beauty of having many different connections all over the world, because even if you feel a little bit anxious about reaching out to someone you haven't spoken to in a while, from my personal experience, you'd be surprised of how willing people are to help you out and to reconnect and kind of reminisce about previous times again in college, for example. So I think you're really, really right in what you're just saying, Henny. And you were mentioning it earlier that for you, it's really important that you see your best friends on a somewhat frequent basis and schedule those flights to go spend some time with them in real life. What are some of the most memorable experiences you can recall that were simply a great investment in your long distance friendships?
I think that is a great question. I will again try to keep it somewhat short. For me, like I said, big one is just a face-to-face, because at the end of the day, it's not like you'll remember this great FaceTime talk, right? Mm. Those are the little things you do over time that add up to stay connected. But the fun part is always in person. So, for example, an example of what I did was when I lived in Chicago, one of my best friends from my time in DC, she was about to leave to move to New Zealand, because the guy she had met when she studied abroad in the south of France was from there. And she was like, you know what? I'm done with college. I'm going to do this. I'm going to give this a shot. And I was actually one of the only ones who supported her in that. But it was her graduation. And she left the day after her graduation. So I booked a ticket and just flew out to DC from Chicago and surprised her on her graduation and then sent her off to New Zealand. And to that day, she's still like, we still talk about it, and still was one of like the best surprises, you know, and probably the best investment I could have made into our friendship. Or when she studied abroad in Nice and I was in Germany, back in Germany, I would come down to Nice and visit her, and she came to Germany to visit me. And now she had visited me in Ireland with her boyfriend. So I think it's this, you know, you put in the effort, and then if it's reciprocated, then you know, oh, it was worth it, right? And then also spontaneous road trips. One of my best friends from New York, he came to Germany once, he came to Ireland once, and we went to Portugal together, and we just went on this insane spontaneous road trip, which was just what we needed, you know. It wasn't planned, it wasn't very well organized, which usually I am a big, you know, organizer. But so I always think it's the simple things, you know, and if you're with good company, it always becomes a great memory. So those would be two of investments I would make. And another thing was, you know, obviously I understand that not everybody has the financial means to book that flight, right? Or to especially with, if we're talking long distance, you know, like America, Europe, America, Australia, it's tough, you know, if you don't have the money to do that. But I also think, of course, everyone understands that. But sometimes we have the financial means, but we're not making the time, right? So if you do have the money to do it, just make sure that you sometimes make the time to actually, you know, go on that weekend trip. Especially if you find yourself in the same country, because you won't regret it usually, you know. So for me, like, whenever I am in Germany, and yeah, it sometimes I'm only there for a week or a weekend, I always try to stay with friends, to visit them. And yeah, sometimes I'm exhausted, you know, and I'd rather just chill. But it is that investment in that friendship. And obviously on their side, like, you know, nobody likes to be a host for too long, but all of my friends know, okay, when I'm around, I would obviously have to stay with them because I don't live in Germany anymore, and they're more than welcome to host me. So those are the investments I would say, you know, invest your time. And if you have the financial means, invest in that trip and schedule reunions. For example, our friend got married in Guatemala, which, if you ask me, that was the best investment in my long-distance friendship, was, you know, coming down to Guatemala to that wedding. Of course, it was expensive, but the return of investment was so worth it. And to be honest with you, one of our friends decided not to come due to personal reasons, but also somewhat due to financial reasons. And I believe she still regrets it to this day. right? Mm-hmm. Because she'd somewhat left out and she missed out on this great trip. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I'm speaking for myself here. I'm sure you all have different experiences, and I'm not saying there's no right or wrong, right? But I'm just sharing what works for me, and I'd rather save up for a trip than spend it on a handbag, right?
Yeah. No.
It's just how I work. That's my love language is the my presence.
Yeah, I can totally see that, to be honest. And I think what you're saying is so true. We tend to not regret the things that we do, even when we're thinking like, oh my God, I cannot afford this, and this is so expensive, and I'm so exhausted, and I have to get up early on Monday, whatever it is that you're trying to come up with as an excuse. People do tend to regret not having done things much more than the things that they have done. So I'm pretty sure in regards to that friend that decided not to travel to Guatemala for that wedding, yeah, I'm sure they're still regretting that decision. But I'm really, really happy that you always put your friends first whenever you can, and that you're trying to put in the effort and the time. So last question for you today, Henny. What advice would you give to young women who are either recent grads or young professionals that would kind of take away some of that anxiety associated with the fear of not being able to maintain their friendships over distance?
Again, good question. And I'm not sure that I'm able to take away their anxiety or fear. I wish I could, but I can share what I believe to be true and what worked for me, and what I wish someone would have told me at the time, is that, like I said before, true connections never die. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you can't force people to stay in your life. You can put in the effort, and I think you should, into those friendships that mean something to you, into those mm-hmm. people that mean something to you. And if those efforts are reciprocated, then it's worth it putting in more effort, right? Like I said, you know, I book a trip, I put myself out there, I make myself vulnerable, and I do it once. And I do it twice. But if the third time the person is not visiting me back, then I remove myself slowly, because clearly I'm prioritizing this friendship more than they are prioritizing me. So just trust your authenticity and trust your gut that what you put in will be rewarded. And maybe sometimes you put in effort into a friendship and it turns out to not be reciprocated, but then maybe a friendship that you weren't even aware meant that much, they put in the effort for you. Coming back to work friends, I worked with these two great girls, and we've had so much time together. But to be honest with you, at the time I thought they were going to be category, you know, chapter in the moment friends, not going to last. 3 years later, they're still messaging me. They're still scheduling the reunions. They came to visit me in Dublin. And oftentimes I think, man, like, they're really putting into the effort into this. And it was something I didn't expect. So true connections, they don't die. Put the effort into the ones you truly care about. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with Brené Brown. I know you are, Tamina. She's a researcher around shame and vulnerability, but her work's absolutely amazing. And there's this thing in her book, as well as in some of the podcasts, she calls them marble jar friends. And what she means by this is that, you know, trust takes time, right? And building true, meaningful, long-term friendships take time. And if we talk about long distance friendships, I mean, you wouldn't keep up long distance friendships if they weren't, you know, if they didn't mean anything to you, right? So those are the friends apparently that you want to keep, even though you live far away from each other. So those would be considered marble jar friends. And what it means is that every time they put on the effort, every time they show they care, every time, you know, they think of you, or they, you know, they're there for you during tough times, or they listen to you, you put a marble in a jar, right? Because a little bit trust is built, a little bit, you know, care has been shown, a little bit of effort has been given. And you should really focus on those kind of friends where the marble jars are full. Every time someone lets you down, doesn't return your call, doesn't return your text, cancels their trip, or doesn't even book a trip, you remove a marble from the jar, you know? And when you see the jar relatively empty, you also know, you know, how to prioritize. So focus on the marble jar friends, which again are things that happen over time. It's small moments. It's not a big gesture oftentimes. It's someone who knows your grandparents, maybe even a person or your parents, or who knows their names, who asks about them, right? It's someone who cares about your relationship with your boyfriend, who listens, or girlfriend, you know, who... I think these are good indicators to help you maintain your friendships and to not fear losing certain friends. So I think that would be how I would wrap it up.
Well, thank you so much, Henny. I loved how open and genuine you were, and I think your advice is really on point. I really hope that some of our listeners will be able to take some actionable pieces of advice with them today. It was such a wonderful conversation. Thank you so much for joining me today, Henny.
Thank you so much for having me and allowing me to share a little bit of my experience here. Again, I don't think there's a right or wrong. I hope that some of the things I shared with you guys today help you. If they don't, that's fine. I'm not taking any offense. I don't think I have it all figured out either, but just try. And that's what I'm doing, at least. I mean, we're still quite young. We still have a few more years to go to maintain those long-distance friendships. It doesn't look like I'm going to settle anywhere anytime soon. So I'll keep you posted if I have any new ideas. But yeah, thank you so much, Tamina. It was such a pleasure. I very, very much enjoyed talking with you today. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my experience.
Of course. I knew you were going to be a wonderful person to talk to about this topic. And it's something that I've been struggling with myself. So definitely some advice that I will try to action right away after hanging up this call today.
Sounds good.
And that concludes our show. Thank you for listening to today's episode. Since we're just starting out, it would be amazing if you left us a positive review on Apple Podcasts and shared FemHive with all your female coworkers and girlfriends so we can empower as many young women as possible. Make sure to also follow us on Instagram and LinkedIn. I'm Tamina Stoll, and I hope you will be tuning in again next week. Take care, ladies.